at the risk of repeating too much, I think it's really important in understanding this gospel to couple it with those other two, the woman at the well, the man born blind, and now the death and raising of Lazarus. And since the 5th century, these three gospel readings have been read on the 3rd, 4th, and 5th Sundays of Lent, because they accompany that final journey of the elect, those catechumens who have been gone through the rite of election, their final journey toward the Easter sacraments of baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist. And so it's become such an important part of Lent, this journey that is epitomized and explained in so many ways by those three passages. And they're long passages, and they are rich in metaphor and symbolism, and we can't cover it all here, but let's just pull out a few things. First of all three of these passages are about baptism. They're all about conversion. They're all about some kind of a change that happens in these people who encounter Jesus in these particular ways. The woman at the well, she says, "Where will I get this water that you're talking about? And who will give it to me?" And Jesus says, "I am the one who will give it to you, the one speaking with you." And she is converted. And then she goes back to her village, and she pulls out the rest of the village, and they get converted. And of course, water is evident there in Jacob's well, and the water jar that she's carrying, etc. So it's baptism. With the man born blind, he washes in the pool of Siloam. Again, there's water there. And here, there's no water mentioned, but the Spirit is mentioned all over these readings today. In the first reading from the prophet Ezekiel, "I will breathe my Spirit into you, and you will come back to life." It's a new creation, and baptism is always a new creation, isn't it? In the first creation, God breathed life into Adam. It's the breath of God, it's the Spirit of God that brings life. The Spirit of God breathed over the waters and dried them up and made the place for dry land. These are creation stories. In our Paschal candle back by the font, if you look at that closely, it's an image of the cosmos, the image of the beginning of creation. Because baptism is a new creation. It's this celebration of the reality that creation wasn't just one event that happened billions of years ago, but it's ongoing. God is always creating. And every time we baptize someone in that font, there's a new creation happening. And every time we sign ourselves in that font, it's a reminder of the fact that we have been recreated, that the breath of God, the Spirit of God, has been breathed into us and dwells in our bodies. And that second reading talks about that Spirit indwelling, dwelling within us. So we're no longer people just of the flesh, but people of the Spirit. We are already a long way down that path to becoming divine. We were created in God's image in the very beginning, and we're moving toward His likeness. And the more we welcome that Spirit within us, and the more we cooperate with that grace, that baptismal and confirmation grace that is within us, the closer we get to being divinized, to becoming in union with God in our own person, like Jesus, who is fully God and fully human at the same time. That union between divinity and flesh is destined to be in us as it is in Christ already. And we're moving toward that likeness. So, Lazarus is dead. He's been dead for 4 days. He stinks. He's not in a coma. He's dead. The author wants us to understand that. This is not an illusion. It's real. So Jesus, he has this encounter with Mary and then later with Martha and later with Mary. And they both say the same thing to him. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. Kind of accusing him of not being a good friend, not showing up. But we know from the first part of that story that Jesus intentionally didn't show up for 4 days because he wanted this to end in coming to faith. And that's exactly what happens. In the same way that the woman from the well goes and converts the whole village, it says at the end of this reading that many came to believe in him because of this. Another thing that's happening there, Jesus is always exchanging his life for ours. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to die, and he raises Lazarus from the dead. This happens just before Jesus enters into the city of Jerusalem for the last time. And this is one of the things that seals his fate. The Jews got so angry about this raising of Lazarus from the dead that that was the final straw, and they plotted to kill him. So Jesus kind of embraces death. He encounters it all over the place, and he embraces it, but he also confronts it. Notice in this passage, Jesus was perturbed in spirit. He was violently upset. And there's it's a very strong term in Greek that's being used here. One of the translations, which I hate, but it kind of helps, he snorted. I don't know what that means exactly. But the point is that he wasn't just sad. He was upset, visibly upset. Why? Partly because he was a good friend of Lazarus. They'd known each other all their lives. So he loved Lazarus, and so there was a grief, a sadness. But I think the scripture here means something even more than that. As God, who is the author of life, is confronting death violently. He's mad about it. He's angry. God is upset that death came into the world through sin. Death was never God's plan. Death is the result of sin. It's something that humans brought into the world. It wasn't created by God. And God doesn't like it. Death is the symbol of everything that's wrong in our world. It's the final straw. It's the thing that is most feared out of all of our fears. It's the thing that is so final and so disruptive to life. And Jesus hates that. And so he confronts it. And there are similar stories throughout the Gospels where Jesus confronts evil. And death and evil are kind of synonymous in the scriptures. So Jesus confronts the demons and says, "Get out of him." You know, he commands them. He's not just saying in a nice way, you want to come out of the guy, please? You know, he's saying, get out of him. Jesus embraces his cross. Notice that opening prayer for today's Mass. May we on our journey live in charity with the same charity with which Jesus embraced his cross. There's something about Christian life that is always confronting death, facing it head on. You know, in our culture, we love to deny death. We talk about the fountain of youth. We use everything we can to ward off aging. You know, we're always worshiping youth and denying death. But isn't it interesting that here in the Catholic Church, we always come in here and we look at death. We're just staring at it all the time. And it's not just in the image of the crucifixion, but it's in the altar too, which is the sacrificial memorial of his death. And are we doing that because we're somehow morbid? Because we are masochistic? No. We're doing that because we believe that death really has no power because of Christ. Because of his cross and resurrection, we rise from death. That antiphon for the gospel today, anyone who believes in me, even though he die, will never die. The irony of that is so rich, and we want to hold on to that all through our Christian lives. Anyone who believes in him will never die. Oh yeah, our heart's going to stop, and we're going to get buried. It happens to everybody. But that's not the end of the story. Back to baptism. There's a saying from a second century author. Blessed are those who, believing in the power of the cross, have plunged into the water of life. Water and death are synonymous in baptism, but water and life are synonymous in baptism as well. Because if we immerse ourselves in the death of Christ, we will also rise with him in his resurrection. Water is a wonderful symbol of both things. And our Christian lives are both and. Death is all around us. And we hate it just like Jesus hated it. We don't have to love death, but we shouldn't be afraid of it. We should be willing to confront it. We should be willing to cast it out of our lives. And this comes through the cross, and it comes through baptism. Being reborn, recreated in this new life in Christ.